Okay, everyone, welcome. So we don't yet have Bonnie Rice joining us. It is still a possibility that she'll join us in just a few moments. But until then, who out there has an established program to discuss sexuality with teens in their facilities?
This is Susan from Mount Washington Pediatric Hospital. We actually have approached this. First of all, those of you that heard the webinar, I thought it was exceptional, and it was obviously very apparent that we needed to improve our program. What we had been doing is addressing it through different kinds of group formats and individually. It first went to the physician, then it was triaged to either a rehab therapist or a nurse or a psychologist, depending upon the focus. But we did span all age groups, so we addressed sexuality for the younger age groups as well as the older children and teens. And we are fortunate enough to have gynecology on site to assist in some of the evaluations and issues. And I'll be real honest, I've had parents literally come up to me and thank us for having that kind of specialty physician, a pediatric gynecologist, on site to address some of their concerns and issues here at the hospital. So, but I think Bonnie's portrayal and in-service really made us realize where we could grow with what we needed to add.
This is Valerie. Susan, what does that look like for your younger children?
Actually, it had more to do with the issues of understanding differences between genders, learning about their own bodies, questions, and especially the area of what areas are safe to touch and by whom. So it was we used to use the websites from Kids Health and I'm trying to think of the other one, Girls Health, which was developed by, well, the Girls Health was developed by the government, the federal government, and we actually used a lot of those in helping with address sexuality at different developmental stages. And they were broken out very similarly with age groups. But that kind of helped to facilitate the discussions or the conversations. And that's really how it then grew and developed. Obviously, some things are not appropriate or would not be received well in a group format. So some of this was done individually. Other times it was done with groups.
That's very interesting. Does anyone else have an established program in their facility?
This is Joyce calling from Wesley Spectrum Services in Pittsburgh. We've developed a curriculum that's called Healthy Relationships and Autism, A Guide into Adulthood. And it covers three different major topics. We start with hygiene and move to sexuality, and then we talk about relationship development, including dating. And the whole point of that was to recognizing that too many of our youth who have autism and intellectual disabilities have been caught into the justice system, both charged as predators or, you know, with assault, and then also people who have been victimized. So we wanted to stop that, and so we've created this curriculum where we train people to facilitate it and deliver it directly to youth in schools, in behavioral health organizations, and in residential settings.
That's I applaud your two facilities. Those programs sound really, really great. Does anyone else have something they'd like to add or contribute?
This is Jeff, and I'm from Madonna Rehab Hospital here in Lincoln, Nebraska. The way we approach it is our neuropsychologist will typically meet with the family and meet with the child and discuss and move things through accordingly. It is very individualized. It is not a curriculum that we would look through or check off, if you will. Our organization is a Catholic organization, and so we have a few unique caveats to that in that we are struggling with how we can approach things from, let's say, a boundary standpoint rather than a relationship standpoint.
Yeah.
And it has created some pretty interesting complications for us as a team. Of course, everybody on our team is not Catholic, so it does create kind of a back and forth that poses yet another challenge for the topic. So our intention is to put together a curriculum that will support not only those expectations within our organization, but then we'll also get to factual information for our population. We're a 14-bed inpatient unit. We're a freestanding hospital, so for us to do that and stay in line with the mission and the values of the organization has been somewhat challenging. So I really appreciated the information. Our facility heavily attended the webinar. It was very well received. I think everybody walked away with some very practical information. And the resources that were identified in the presentation were really helpful.
I agree. I think that was a really, really strong presentation for us all to hear. I had a couple of questions. I'm actually going to put one of them out to the group in general and just get an idea of what you all are doing in your facilities. In terms of a consent for parents to sign, what do those look like in your facilities?
This is Susan again from Mount Washington Pediatric Hospital. We don't have a formal consent. We always check first with the family to get to have them know what would be addressed. And this particularly is important from a cultural perspective, partly because we have run into issues when we had a teen that had a spinal cord injury, and we needed to address certain aspects because the teen is asking those questions. And so this is when we realized that we needed to formalize it a little bit more. So we always check with the family. We also let them know what the content and the curriculum would be so that if there were issues that they were wanted us to emphasize, we could do that with them, which kind of takes into some of the religious preferences as well. As well as whether or not that child is receiving in the school system sexual education. In our state, there is a emphasis at the age of 14 that the child can make decisions on their own without necessarily the consent of the parent. And that has caused us to be kind of in a situation where we want to try to get the buy-in from the parents before we proceed. But there is a strong mandate in our state to allow a 14-year-old to make healthcare decisions about themselves that may be different from what the parent might want. So that is where our dilemma occurs.
And Susan, what kind of discussion have you guys had to navigate that?
What kind of
discussion? Like, how are you all navigating that? Because that's a pretty big dilemma.
Yeah, usually the issue is to have meetings, family meetings with the family, with the parents or the caregivers, the predominant caregivers, not necessarily with the child present at the time, even if it's a teen, but we have had both, with both of them in the room. But it takes a lot of explanation and education on our part to really help emphasize that their child will seek this information out elsewhere, and we would prefer that this information come from medical personnel as opposed to them navigating it online or for themselves or maybe taking inappropriate information or hearing it from peers. But again, it is a matter of helping to educate, and sometimes that takes time to really present that to the parent that this is the direction we now need to move and work with them. So we then document in the record that there has been this collaboration and agreement that we proceed in that direction as part of the really holistic approach to the care of the child.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I guess my other question to that is, in trying to attempt to have a holistic approach, with having that mandate from the state of Maryland, how then do you navigate pulling the families into that educating process?
Well, we're struggling now within the state because we have children at hospitals that can sign off on access to their medical records and deny access to their parents at the age of 13 and 14. So this is why, for us, this is we're a fairly open state or liberal state, but this is really creating new issues for us in the healthcare system.
Yeah, I appreciate that you all have a lot to trudge through in that aspect. How about other facilities? What does your consent process look like for your programs?
Again, this is Joyce from Pittsburgh with the curriculum that we've published. What we do is we're doing this two ways. One, we are delivering the curriculum to our clients through outpatient groups and in the approved private schools that we operate. And so there, what we do in both cases is pull parents in and do a whole evening on what this curriculum is all about, what the topics cover, and how we address some of the more value-laden issues. And then we ask for parents to sign a simple consent form. When we sell this curriculum to others, the beginning pieces of the curriculum talks about how to manage this issue in their setting as well. And we pretty much suggest that they follow the same procedure. Now, we too in Pennsylvania have the rule where at 14, the youth has complete control over their medical care and can close the parents out of that completely. And frankly, we haven't really dealt with that since we're doing this primarily through the schools. The schools don't seem to have to follow those same rules. And it's so important, of course, that the school district be really on board with what is being delivered to their kids so that they can manage any fallout that may happen when, you know, parents hear about it. Even a parent whose child isn't participating, we've had a situation where, you know, they just were saying this is much too much information that, you know, shouldn't be given, even because my kid might hear about it from his kid, you know, that kid on the school bus kind of a thing. So
yeah,
it does get real tricky, especially once you move into the schools where the kids don't seem to have the same kind of control over their, you know, what they're learning about.
Mm-hmm.
This is Liz Kozier from DuPont Hospital. I would say for us mostly it's the physician and the psychologist that deals with a lot of the sexuality. We have a pretty good teen group that I know they broach that there with our patients.
And so then they handle the curriculum and the presenting and all of the logistics in regard to it as well?
Yep.
That's good. So does anyone else have other questions that they'd like to pose to the group?
Do any of you have established curriculum? Is that curriculum available on your facility's website?
This is Susan, again, from Mount Washington. I actually went online and looked at the publication that the state of Florida had developed that Bonnie was using at Tampa General, and it really is exceptional. I actually shared it with the rehab team this morning and had our medical director of our rehab inpatient rehab program and the psychologist here, who predominantly serves the rehab inpatients, but she spoke to the fact that there's an extensive number of outpatients that we may not be seeing, but psychology is seeing to address some of their issues related to sexuality. And so in turn, I thought it was really enlightening, and that manual actually gives you curriculum and facilitated activities that you could use in different forums with children. And it was quite well received by our team. We're actually looking at adopting it as part of what we have available, and we have an internal patient education review committee that will review it from a perspective of, is this something that we would use on an ongoing basis? And it is free. You can download it. It's very large. It's 100 and some pages in an Adobe format, but it is an excellent resource for everyone. Valerie?
Sorry, I'm here. I was speaking to a muted telephone.
Oh, okay. I think we have that website. It's in the webinar, that particular link.
Yes, there were several links in the webinar. And just so that everyone's aware, the webinar is already posted on the IPRC website.
Good.
So it's easily accessible at this point so that you could share it with your colleagues. So does anyone have any further comments or questions they'd like to share? It sounds like not at this point. And so I guess at this point, then I could just tell everyone, thank you for joining us. And we can conclude our call.
Thank you.
All right, great.
All right,
thank
everyone,
you.
Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, too.